Podcast.
Hey, I'll call your soul.
Alright people, what's up? Welcome to Horrorcore Podcast, Episode 2. This is Bart, back again with you. Today we're going to focus on the Evil Dead trilogy. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, we're going to go over a couple things here. Got some notes. Got to give some shout-outs. Last episode, I completely forgot to give Gray a shout-out over at the Dark Hours Podcast. It's a great show, and in all actuality, it's one of the shows that inspired me to do this on my own, by myself, as Gray usually is by himself. Once in a while, he'll bring someone in to kind of co-host and go over a couple movies with him, but that's a great podcast. You should check that out. Also want to give thanks to Mike over at Fear Shop, fearshop.com. He has a horror movie podcast and a metal podcast and all kinds of heavy metal and horror movie t-shirts. You need to check that out over at fearshop.com. Want to thank him. He's really helped me out a lot here, giving me some feedback and whatnot. Also to Mike over at Body Count. That's at Podomatic. He's on Podomatic, the Body Count horror podcast. He's given me a lot of tips here and there too, so I want to thank him. And actually, we're going to be ending the show tonight with a little song that I'm going to put on there specifically for him. So we'll get to that later. Now we're going to go over a couple things. First, just wanted to apologize for last episode. Wasn't the greatest. Actually kind of sloppy. But, you know, it was my first effort. I've never recorded or edited anything like this before. So wasn't too bad for my first effort there, but this show should be a lot better, and it will get better as I go along. Let me give my email out there. Still haven't gotten any feedback from any listeners besides the two mics at Fear Shop and Body Count. So that email is horrorcorebart, HORRORCOREBART, at yahoo.com. Also got a blog spot out there, which is bartsreview.blogspot.com. Did a couple reviews there a while back. Don't really do much to it anymore, but there are links to the podcast on there if you want to check that out. Also has links to a couple other podcasts and Facebook links and whatnot. Also have a phone number for you guys. It's area code 269-823-9037. So feel free to leave some voicemails there. We'll get those put on the next episode if anybody decides to actually call in. Also, if you want to email me or call me, give me some suggestions on movies that you want to hear be reviewed. Always open for suggestions. Always. Critiques, suggestions, anything that you guys want to do to help me put out a better show for you. Always out there. Lately, this past week, I've watched a couple movies, got a couple books. Actually got Blacktooth Grin. It's the life and times of Daryl Dimebag Abbott, guitarist from Pantera, that was tragically killed on stage. I love Dimebag. I really do. He is the best guitarist of my generation, bar none. No two riffs from him sound alike. Whereas, you know, you get into the Metallicas with Kirk Hammett and even Dave Mustaine and, you know, Zakk Wylde. You get a lot of repeating riffs on songs, which, you know, you can't really blame them for. You put out that much music, you're going to repeat yourself. But that's something that Dimebag never did. And you could always tell a Dimebag riff. So, haven't started that book yet, but I'm looking forward to getting started on it. Also got a horror book, which, you know, the title slips me right now, but it should slip me because it's really not that great. I thumbed through it, and it covers all the standard horror movies. The one thing it did that really irked me, and I hate it when people do it, but the guy that wrote it, you know, he breaks everything up into subgenres, and he actually put the Evil Dead movies into the zombie subgenre, which irritates me to the nth degree. I hate that. It's not a frickin' zombie movie, man. It's a demon movie. It's a possession movie. Those ain't fucking zombies. That shit pissed me off. It's almost as bad as when people put Poison and Winger and Linkin Park in the category of heavy metal. You know, oh, I just want to choke people sometimes, but can't do much about it. Not sure if I mentioned, but I did watch the movie Black Death. I really enjoyed it. It's a medieval movie. It takes place back in the 1300s when the plague was sweeping through England. And it's definitely a movie that you have to be in the mood for. It's very dark, very grimy. It has a twist ending that I really enjoyed. I watched that with my wife. She wasn't too thrilled with it, but she typically hates all the movies that I love. So can't do much about that. And we got some news. I was reading online about this new Rob Zombie movie about the witches in Salem or some crap like that. I was initially excited because I do enjoy Rob Zombie's movies. Not too many people liked House of a Thousand Corpses, but I did. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is my all-time favorite horror movie, the original. And, yeah, Rob Zombie did borrow a lot from that movie. You know, I enjoyed it. And it was gory as all hell. And it came out at a time when gory movies weren't being put out. You know, it was fresh off the heels of the whole Scream debacle, that stupid trilogy. When, you know, it was happy-go-lucky, pretty teenagers in the horror movies, and not too much blood. But Zombie got back to the roots of it. It felt like a 70s horror movie to me, which is the best era of horror movies, in my opinion. So I really liked House of a Thousand Corpses, and I loved The Devil's Rejects. That movie is just downright awesome. His remake of Halloween, I enjoyed it. And then, you know, when the sequel came out is when I've really starting to take a step back and reevaluate my opinions of Rob Zombie. I just find it unbelievable how he keeps figuring out ways to put his wife in these movies. I could understand, you know, all the way up until the Halloween remake, but part two, it's like he went out of his way to write her into that movie. And she's not a good actress, you know, it drives me crazy. And now, I was reading online about this witches movie, and so far only one person has been cast for that movie, if you look it up. And the one person that has been cast, can you take a guess? Yeah, it's Sherry Moon Zombie. Oh, the only person cast for that fucking movie so far is his goddamn wife. So now I'm already turned off to it. And don't get me wrong, I'll watch it, because I'm a horror fan through and through, so I will watch it, but I'm not happy about it, so fuck Rob Zombie. So I think I've covered everything. Got everything covered on my notes. So let's go ahead and get right into the reviews.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Evil Dead came out in 1981. It was actually shot in 1979, put out in 81. It has a runtime of 85 minutes. Evil Dead stars Bruce Campbell Ellen Sandweiss and Richard DeManicore. Yeah, whatever. The synopsis is, you know, five friends, three women, two men, go out to a cabin that they rented for the weekend just to basically get out, have some fun, spend some time in the woods, when they unknowingly release some demon spirits into the world, and one by one, they get picked off. We start out with talking about this movie. I had an uncle growing up, Uncle Ray. He's fucking awesome. He had this system where he would rent movies and record them. So he had a room that just the walls were covered with shelves full of movies. And he gave me a copy of The Evil Dead. Must have been in fourth or fifth grade. And who knows what generation recording it was, but it was poor quality, which added a grimy, you know, feel to it. It kind of felt like you were in that cabin. It was fucking awesome, man. And I would have my friends in the neighborhood over, and we'd watch a movie. And by the time it was over, it'd be dark, so they'd have to walk home, and they're scared shitless. You know, needless to say. Sam Raimi is probably my favorite director when it comes to horror movies. He's a great director all the way around. You know, from the Evil Dead trilogy to the Dark Man, the first Dark Man, to Drag Me to Hell, to you know, the Spider-Man trilogy. You always know a Sam Raimi movie when you see it. And it all started with The Evil Dead. You know, the whole point of view camera angles, where you'd see the point of view of the demons or just the spirit rushing to Bruce Campbell's face at the end of the movie. That's Sam Raimi. And it's a unique, some unique cinematography that he uses in just about every movie. You have the quick cut sequences, montages, you know, the jump scares, which he used a lot in Drag Me to Hell. Basically, you know, it all started off with Evil Dead. And that, I hold a special spot in my heart for this movie, just because it was one of my first introductions into real horror movies. You know, it definitely was my first introduction to the Necronomicon, the Book of the Dead. Plays a pretty big part in this movie. And as far as spoilers, I'm assuming that if you're listening to this podcast, you had to have already seen The Evil Dead, so I hope I'm not ruining it for anybody, but I'm going to talk in detail about this. So if you don't want to be spoiled on this movie, you might as well turn it off now. But, yeah, like I said, Sam Raimi's cinematography, it all started in this movie, and it's just fucking awesome. The point of view, I went over all of that. This movie is shot in Tennessee, in the mountains of Tennessee, on a shoestring budget. They basically just found an abandoned cabin and used it, you know, so they didn't have to pay anybody for it. Everyone that's in this movie, you know, they were all friends of Sam Raimi, you know, from Bruce Campbell to all the girls. Even towards the end, Ted Raimi, if you look close, he's a stand-in for a couple people because they couldn't get him back to do a couple reshoots. And, you know, I think I hold a little special part in my heart for this movie because everyone that's in it, I basically grew up 10, 15 minutes away from where they were all from. They're all from Dearborn, Michigan, and I grew up down Michigan Ave a little ways from Dearborn. So I thought that was pretty cool knowing that, you know, they grew up in the same environment that I did and they were able to get out and put out a movie like this. If you watch closely on this movie when they're in the basement finding the tape recorder and the Necronomicon and all that stuff. If you look on the wall, there's actually a Hills Have Eyes poster, so I thought that was kind of cool how he paid homage to gave a little shout-out to Wes Craven. In this movie, it's the first time, and I think the only time I've ever seen a tree rape. If you're into women getting raped by tree branches, this movie definitely is for you. I can't say I've ever seen that anywhere else. The effects in this movie were great, especially for the budget that he had. I think the budget was somewhere right around $300,000, which is unbelievable by today's standards. you know, the makeup effects on the demons, especially Cheryl, the one in the basement. That used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid. Just her face coming up through the little cellar door, banging around with that evil-ass voice. Love that shit. And Linda, when she's possessed and sitting on the floor with the white eyes and the makeup, singing her little song, "We're Gonna Get You," that shit used to scare the shit out of me, and I still love it to this day. This movie is my second all-time favorite horror movie behind The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. And I think a big part of it is because how original both those movies were. You never see, before Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you never seen a masked killer using a weapon like that, a chainsaw, of all things. That was the first masked killer. The Halloween movies were the first slasher movies, but the first masked killer was Leatherface. He's the one that started it all. Then he had Michael Myers, and then Jason, then Freddy. But no one ever wants to pay homage to Leatherface, which drives me nuts. But yeah, second is Evil Dead, just because how original it was. You know, you had demon possession movies before that, but not like this. Not in an isolated environment like it was, and multiple people being possessed. It was so original, and that's why I hold it so high. That, and it's just a fucking awesome movie. The acting was pretty good, too, especially since none of them were really, you know, highly trained actors. Like I said, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell got together a lot of friends. You know, they were all friends with these people. I don't know if, to be honest with you, I don't know if they had any acting experience before this, but you can tell, and especially with, you know, the horror genre, you get a lot of bad acting. The score was minimal, but effective. It wasn't overbearing. He used music when he needed to. Yeah, like I said, the budget was $375,000, and up to date, it's made over $30 million, which I think that was a pretty good take there. I think that about covers it. You know, IMDb gave this a 7.6 out of 10, which I find that hard to believe. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%, which is fucking awesome. Love seeing shit like that. Me personally, I gave it a 9.5. Like I said, I don't give out too many 10s. This is about as close to a 10 as I'll put out because it's near perfect. If you look hard enough, you're going to find flaws in it, but you'll find flaws in any movie if you look hard enough. But this definitely is a classic. I definitely recommend it for a watch. So that's The Evil Dead. Dead 2. This movie was released in 1987. Has a runtime of 89 minutes. The budget on this movie was raised up to $3.6 million. Quite a big raise from the original. But up to date, it's grossed about $11 million. So definitely made his money back on that one. This movie, you know, starts off, it digs a little deeper into the Necronomicon, gives you a little backstory on it, a little history, per se. Definitely, they redid the beginning, redid the whole aspect of what happened with Ash, and they got rid of the three friends and just focused on Ash and his girlfriend. Wasn't a big fan of that. I really wish they'd have just picked up where the last one left off instead of giving you a different backstory, because it kind of makes the original, which you know, was awesome, kind of makes it, you know, pointless. Bruce Campbell has really honed his acting skills in this movie. He does the whole slapstick comedy better than most, that's for sure. And you can't help but think of Jim Carrey when you watch this movie. He hit it big well before Jim Carrey. Just the facial features, they look similar. And then, the whole physical comedy aspect of Bruce Campbell's acting ability is very reminiscent of Jim Carrey. I'd love to see a movie at some point in the future where they'd play brothers or something to that effect. That'd be kind of cool. Maybe throw Rich Franklin in there as a third brother, although he probably can't act very well, so never mind that one. This movie definitely focuses on a lot of slapstick comedy. I know Sam Raimi was a big Three Stooges fan, and you can tell that from this movie. So lots of slapstick comedy in this one. It kind of picked up where it left off with, the demon hitting Bruce Campbell in the face, and then it takes him to the woods and hits the tree, falls in the mud puddle, and comes up all possessed, which the effects on his face were pretty awesome. I've always loved that. The effects throughout were really good. There were some that was a little cheesy, like Annie's boyfriend that comes, with a big mouth and teeth, and I didn't really care too much for that. You could tell that looked fake, but the Annie's mom was really done really well, the makeup on her. And there was a lot of good use of claymation. You say 1987, why is he still using claymation? And he uses a lot of claymation in The Army of Darkness, which we'll be covering next. But he uses it effectively. Granted, it doesn't look real. But when you become a horror fan and watch a lot of horror movies, you have to suspend reality and belief just a little bit. But I think he used the claymation really well. Some of my favorite parts of the movie is when Ash slowly starts to lose his mind and the house turns on him. He looks in the mirror and his reflection attacks him. You could tell he's losing his mind. And who knows how much of that is really happening or how much of it is just going on in his brain. Another favorite part is when his hand turns on him. That's just awesome. His hand starts beating him up, starts trying to kill him. And you hear the little voice of his hand. Not really voice, but you know what I mean. You've seen the movie. But I think that's pretty cool. And then he cuts it off and it takes off and comes after him and flips him off. My kids got a kick out of that. And yes, I watched this movie with my kids last night. So I think, I had them cover their eyes for the dancing, headless, claymation, naked girlfriend. But other than that, it's really not too graphic for kids. If you notice in part two, the cabin's a lot nicer. It doesn't have that dingy, dirty, grimy feel, which you don't really need because part two is more of a comedy than it is a horror movie anyways. It's very cartoonish. It has a lot of cartoonish type humor in it. There was outrageous amounts of blood. That's for sure. Just blood pouring and just shooting from everywhere. And the chainsaw hand, who can get, you think of Evil Dead, and that's the first thing you think of, is the chainsaw on the end of the arm, and then the boomstick. Even though the phrase boomstick isn't used until, Army of Darkness. I think that about covers it. The ending of this movie was great. It left me wanting more. I remember as a kid, I was so pissed that it ended like that. I wanted to know what happened next. I would watch this movie over and over and sit there through the credits just, hoping maybe I'd catch a little something of what happened, but you ended up having to wait 5 years for Army of Darkness. But, that's a whole other story there. But I think I must have been 10 years old when I first watched this, when it came out on video. And I remember the cover was just fucking awesome. Just had that skull with the eyes and Evil Dead 2. I used to just live in the horror section at the local video stores. And my mom was nice enough to let me watch most of these movies. There's a handful she wouldn't let me watch as a kid. It was basically the whole rape revenge subgenre, but, you know, who can blame her? But, you know, stuff like Friday the 13th and all the Nightmare movies, Chainsaw Massacres, Halloweens, Evil Deads, my mom would let me watch those. And I love her to death for it, that's for sure. In closing, for the review on Evil Dead 2, I think I've covered all my bases on it. IMDb gave it a rating of 7.9, which I do believe was a little bit better than they gave for the original. Yeah, they gave the original 7.6, so... you know, nobody's perfect, especially IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 98%, which is great. I personally gave this a 9. I liked it. I loved it, but definitely not as much as the original. So I think I gave the original 9.5, and like I said, I'm giving this one a 9. So this is definitely high on my list of recommendations. Very gory, very funny, and it's not your traditional horror movie, that's for sure. So go ahead and check that out and enjoy it. Came out in 1992, has a runtime of 87 minutes, stars Bruce Campbell, Marcus Gilbert, and M. Beth Davids. This movie starts off where Evil Dead 2 left off, gives a little quick backstory with the Necronomicon again and whatnot, and picks right up with Ash being back in the 1300s after he shoots the Deadite. Except, you know, he's immediately taken captive instead of being hailed as a savior right off the bat like Part 2 ended. This movie, I mean, I still enjoy this movie. I'm definitely a fan. But it definitely takes a step backwards from Evil Dead 2. Like I said, it takes place back in the 1300s. There was some, you know, fun parts of this movie as far as, you know, Ash fighting himself, Ash fighting Evil Ash, and you know how Evil Ash comes about with all the little ashes that come out of the broken mirror, and you know, one jumps down his throat and forms Evil Ash, and you know, when he fights himself, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool how, I mean, the story itself is a great story. It was written really well, but following in the, you know, following up Evil Dead 1 and 2, like I said, it was a step back. We're introduced to the Deadites. The first time you ever hear Deadite is in Army of Darkness. And Sam Raimi uses claymation again in this movie, but I think it's overused. Whereas in, you know, Part 2, Evil Dead 2, he used it the perfect amount, used it effectively. But in Army of Darkness is just like, it's overkill, to be honest with you. And I don't want to sound like this is a bad movie or have this come off as me not liking this movie, because I do. I thoroughly enjoy this movie. I did when it came out, and, you know, to this day I can still sit through and watch it. Say Ash, you know, basically comes back. The Army of Darkness is definitely more of a comedy. There's really no horror element. It's more of an action comedy than a horror comedy. Plenty of the slapstick humor, once again. Lots of physical comedy. Ash kind of messes things up, but ends up saving the day, of course, as he defeats Evil Ash and the Deadites and gets shipped back to his time. But something went wrong, or somehow a Deadite, you know, comes back to his realm. This ending, it always confused me as a kid, because, you know, you had the Deadite flying around. Well, first, you know, Ash comes back and he's working at his department store, and the Deadite appears that he shoots. And if you look close, you can see Ted Raimi. He's one of the co-workers. It's always funny how Ted Raimi gets worked into movies. He's kind of like Clint Howard was to Ron Howard. Ted Raimi is to Sam Raimi. It's kind of a funny comparison. And, you know, this ending, like I said, it confused me quite a bit as a kid. Wasn't sure what to make of it. It definitely left me wanting more, like Evil Dead 2 did. And here we are, Jesus, what, 19 years later? And haven't gotten any more. There is talk of an Evil Dead 4, but depending on what you read and where you read it, it is going to happen or it isn't going to happen. Let's see. There was an alternate ending to this movie, and if you look it up on YouTube, you can find it. The alternate ending has Ash getting blown into a cave. Well, getting sealed up in a cave, and he gets his potion that's supposed to take him back to his time. But, of course, he messes things up and takes too much of it and ends up in a post-apocalyptic England. It's pretty funny. Like I said, if you get on YouTube, you can find it, find the alternate ending. All right, in closing on this, IMDb gave it a 7.6. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 71%. And I personally gave it a 7. Definitely rewatchable, but I don't hold it in the highest regard. But like I said, I can recommend it. It is a good watch. And especially if you watch 1 and 2, you have to follow it up with Army of Darkness. So, there you have it. Wrapping this episode up, you know, we can talk a little bit more about Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi is a great director. Like I said, he's probably my favorite horror director. There's just so many things that he did that were new and innovating and cutting edge. He definitely was an innovator when it comes to filmmaking. And, you know, and honestly, I kind of compare the Evil Dead trilogy to the Godfather saga. The Evil Dead trilogy is kind of like the Godfather saga of horror. The first one is an instant classic, unbeatable when it comes to horror movies. Part 2, probably just as good, but Part 3 definitely takes a big step backwards. Army of Darkness is nowhere near as horrible as Godfather 3, but it's really the only comparisons that come to mind immediately. I definitely look forward to seeing what Sam Raimi does next. You know, his directing of Spider-Man 4 fell through, so he was free. And I believe there was one project that he was going to be working on. The name slips my mind right now. But there was talk that after that project, maybe he will do Evil Dead 4. I certainly hope so. Definitely want that. And if you read enough online, you can find that how... It's kind of funny how some people try to put Drag Me to Hell as like was supposed to be a sequel to Evil Dead, that after all the shit goes down at the cabin, Ash leaves, and Justin Long was supposed to be playing the role of Ash, and it's just a complete jumble fuck. Don't believe any of that shit. So yeah, that will wrap up the Evil Dead trilogy and Sam Raimi. So, once again, thank you for listening. Definitely want to hear some feedback from you guys. Like I said, you can email me at horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. Also have the phone number, 269-823-9037. I want feedback from you guys, whether it be good or bad, positive or negative. Don't give a shit. And I want some suggestions on movies to review. Next show I'll be reviewing the Silent Night, Deadly Night series. There's anywhere from 5 to 7 of those. I'm not sure. I have them all downloaded somewhere. I'm going to have to look them up. But after that, you know, I want to hear from you guys. I want to know what you guys want to hear reviewed. So call me or email me and let me know. Once again, want to give thanks to Gray for the shout-outs and the promotion and the plugs that he gave me. Want to thank Fear Shop Mike for all the help and Body Count Mike for all the help, too. And we are actually going to go out with a song for Mike over at the Body Count Podcast. I know he's into the pop punk music, and sorry, Mike, but the closest thing I have to that in my collection is Crying on a Saturday Night from the Misfits. All right.